You're listening to Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Follow our Mixcloud account now and never miss an episode. Check us out on Twitter at Between Stripes. Search us on Facebook and Instagram, Between the Stripes. And add us on Snapchat, BTS1924. For more, see our website, betweenthestripesblog.wordpress.com. Thank you for your support.
It's episode 11 of the Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, you're all very welcome again this week. Another huge show lined up for you. And just to mention again, this is the first time that the show will be available on not only Mixcloud, but iTunes, Pocket Cast, Podcast Republic and Audio Boom. So more ways than ever to reach us. We're doing a bit of Facebook Live and Periscoping tonight as well. So anyone that's joined us earlier, thanks for clicking again and listening back to the show. On tonight's show, we're going to discuss the El Clasico, Longford Town demolishing their rivals at loan by 7-1. John is going to discuss the situation at loan, then only named two subs on the night. Quite a few other interesting events there as well from the City Colin Stadium. Also, I've done an interview with Longford's all-time leading goal scorer, David O'Sullivan, who scored a hat-trick in that derby game. So, interesting interview coming up there. We're going to look at the Premier Division results, and we will be joined by Dundalk FM reporter Kieran Callan. The Lily White's an upturn in form at the moment, so we'll discuss that with Kieran. First Division results also to come. We're going to speak about John Delaney's comments on the league today. John Delaney seems to think the league is on a massive rise and in a really good place at the moment. We will debate that. UCD have qualified for Europe in an underage sense. That's a fantastic achievement and a real boost for youth football here in Ireland. We'll discuss that. And also we'll look at the cup action this weekend. Some big cup ties. Longford Town obviously facing Bangor. And we have an interview with Bangor Celtic goalkeeper and former Longford Town goalkeeper Stephen Connellan. So loads to keep you entertained over the next hour or so. It's episode 11 of Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Thanks for joining us, folks. So John, you've gained your voice back after that amazing cup win over Sligo a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I nearly lost it again the weekend thanks to a 7-1 victory against Athlone and the quickest hat-trick on record for Davy O'Sullivan.
Yeah, just over 12 minutes, just shy of 13 minutes, so incredible record. He's known as the record breaker and the history maker. He's done it again. But John, as great as it was to see Longford Town walking over their rival 7-1, it just didn't feel right, did it? There's something at loan at the moment. We all know obviously the betting situation, but that's still been investigated by the FEI. For me, that's long overdrawn now. It just needs to be put to bed. An interview with John Delaney today claims we should hear an outcome in the next month, but for me that's still too long. Only two subs named on the night. Interestingly, one of those substitutes was a goalkeeper and he warmed up in Galway United shorts, so they can't even seem to get the right kit for their players at the moment.
Okay, right. I think there's a few things, a few points that you've made there, Kieran, but do you know what? I'm going to put an appeal out. I want an Athlone fan on the show next week because, you know, what is the situation there? You talked about two subs. One of them was under 17. The other lad's a goalkeeper in their own shorts. There's a bit of history about this. There was three subs named against Cabinteely in the season, although that was an admin error, according to Roddy. And you can't get any information because the website hasn't been updated since April. So it just seems a bit of a shambles at Athlone. And, you know, I'd really like to hear from somebody within the club as to what's going on.
Yeah, most certainly so. But it might be the easiest thing to do considering there seems to be a bit of a backlash when supporters do seem to speak out with that club. Just judging by social media, there seems to be an awful atmosphere around that club at the moment. There was basically no away support there on Saturday night. A good home crowd, but no away support. It's not what we're used to seeing in these local derbies. It didn't feel like a local derby. In fact, it didn't feel like a League of Ireland game. It felt like a friendly match.
Yeah, it was a very strange atmosphere. I mean, Longford were able to open up Athlone with apparent ease, but you know, they were missing a lot of key players as well. They signed Walsh and Curran from Longford a couple of weeks ago. They were nowhere to be seen, Curran.
Injured, of course, is what we're told, John.
But, you know, for a team to be coming up to Longford, it's only 30, 40 minutes away by car, and to only have two subs, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Roddy, when we see Roddy, we always, you know, he's a manager, he's always on his feet, he's always energetic. Mm-hmm. He sat down for the entire 90 minutes the other night. He had a cap on, not his usual suit, you know. Yeah. He had the cap on and he almost seemed to be hiding under a jump. He was absolutely, utterly embarrassed by that performance. As young as his team may be, losing 7-1 to any team, it's a disgraceful result. For me, it's not good for the League of Ireland. I know we see heavy defeats in leagues all over the world. If in the Premier Division in England, if a team went out 1-7-1, everyone would be saying, you know, what an amazing performance, all that. But just the whole thing going on at loan at the minute, it isn't good for the league. It needs to be resolved. And for me, we may not see Athlone in the league next year.
Well, I've watched clubs in England in non-league, Yeovil were in a non-league for a long time there, and I've never known any fixture where a club has only named two substitutes or anything near that. So, you know, there has to be some answers. And, you know, this might be a bit controversial, not what you want to hear, Kieran, but I like to see a strong enough Athlone team. I want to see those games to be good competitive fixtures. Okay, it's nice. It's great. Yes, we thrashed them, but you know, I'd rather see a bit of competition between the two teams and a good strong match. I think it leads to better atmosphere and better for the league in total.
Yeah, I know from speaking to a lot of Longford supporters after the game, obviously they were delighted with the win, but it wasn't. When you beat your local rival, it's usually something you go on about for weeks. People have already forgotten about, but they don't care. It was essentially a friendly match. At Lone, they didn't press the ball at all. They just sat off and let Longford play. Longford could have scored a lot more than seven. Yeah. They could have been 5-0 up, 6-0 up at half time. So for me, it was just a complete shambles for the League of Ireland, really. For me, it won't be the last heavy defeat at Lone take, because it was an absolutely shambolic performance the other night. The only player for me that put any fight up for Athlone was an ex-Longford man, Itande Nkolo. Yeah. And I felt so sorry for him on the night. He really worked his socks off, tried his heart out, and you know, speaking to him after the game, basically what he said, what could we do? It was a team of kids, team of under-19s, under-17s, but for the local rivals to come down and just get turned over like that, it really is embarrassing.
It's not good for the club, it's not good for the competition, and that's why I, you know, even if if we speak to somebody from a fans group, Kieran, I think that would be something that people out there want to hear, because this isn't a situation, especially when John Delaney's come out today and said how strong the league is, but he's got a team there at the weekend that have managed to put a team out, mostly under-19s, under-17s, two subs. It's just, it makes a mockery of what he said, so... You know, I think that match is best forgotten from an Athlone side of things. And I hope whatever's wrong there gets fixed, because I think we need a strong Athlone to have a strong first division.
Yeah, certainly going back to 2013 when Athlone won the first division, it seems so long ago now. But I remember when they came down to the City Connacht Stadium, they brought 300 or 400 fans with them. It was basically winner takes all. Whoever won this game was going to win the first division. The colour and atmosphere that day in the ground was like nothing I've ever seen in the first division. You had blue smoke going off behind the goals from the Athlone fans. You had red and black smoke going off in section O. Great to see them back, by the way, in the last few weeks. But compared to the other night where you could hear a pin drop, bar section O, the far side, who were making the most of their comeback in the last few weeks. But it just as you said, it's not good for the competition. It's the next time Longford play at Lone, you'll probably see a drop in attendances, because a lot of people they didn't find it entertaining as good as Longford's performance was. They just found it to be something embarrassing to watch. But we'll move along, John. One man who took all the chances that came his way the other night was David O'Sullivan. Great to see him back on the score sheet. As we mentioned, broke a record, quickest ever hat-trick for Longford Town.
Three this season, three hat-tricks.
All against Athlone.
Yeah, he loves playing them.
Yeah, so he's now only 22 goals away from 100, and I spoke to David O'Sullivan earlier in the day. So I'm joined on this week's show by hat-trick hero from the Classico. It's the club's all-time leading goal scorer, David O'Sullivan. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Kieran. Cheers.
So, David, you're known as the record breaker and the history maker, and more records fell this weekend. Your quickest ever hat-trick for Longford Town. In fact, it was the quickest hat-trick in the history of Longford Town. You must be absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, delighted. I read it. I found out yesterday evening there through social media that it was the fastest hat-trick, and it's always nice to break any sort of record. It was my first game back kind of last week there against Sligo, and I thought I played all right, but I just didn't get the goal. So it was really nice to go and get the few goals there the other night, and to break a record while doing it was brilliant as well.
Yeah, of course, as I've mentioned there, you've got the highest goals total in the history of the club. But what's been remarkable over the last few years has been your consistency in terms of playing games. You've never really picked up injuries until this season. So it's your first season where you've really suffered some setbacks. How have you found this year?
Yeah, big time now. It's probably been my toughest season with the club. Last year was a tough year in the kind of for different reasons, in the fact that we were going out and, you know, getting bet most weeks, and the fact we got relegated at the end of the season that was very tough, but at least I was able to be involved in those games and have some sort of an impact. So this year now, picking up the injury, it's been tough because, as you say, I've been lucky this is my fifth season now with the club, and I've only had small knocks since I've come on board, and this one, I was out for, three and a half months, so it's been a tough long road, and I've worked hard to get back. I've been doing a lot of rehab and the physio a lot, and it was great to, I've never looked forward to their Cove as much as a few weeks ago, because I knew I was going to take part in the match, or play a part in the match, and then to play last year against Sligo, and obviously then against Athlone was brilliant, so I'm just delighted to be back, because it's a tough, lonely place when you're injured.
Yeah, and of course, you've also, while you were out, there was obviously a change of manager, and there's been obviously Alan Matthews, then Gary Cronin had a spell in charge, and now Neil Fenton. Did that make it harder for you coming back, or were you just so focused on getting your head down and trying to get back on the pitch no matter who was in charge?
I was really just focused on personally getting back on the pitch, and then obviously when Neil came in, that actually kind of pushed me on even a bit more, made me work a bit harder, because I knew whoever came in, I'd have to work a bit harder to prove myself again. It's always hard proving yourself to different managers because they all want different things. So that was one of my big aims when I heard Neil was taking over, was to work really hard, get back as quick as I could. And the staff in the club have been fantastic in ensuring that I've got back as quick as I have. That was the main aim there, was to show him what I can do and prove to him, that I'm worthy of a place on the team. So I'm delighted to, as I say, to be back in the fold now.
Yeah, so Saturday was obviously second game back after Sligo, and then you obviously made a brief appearance down in Cove too. But you look to have instantly fitted into Neil Fenn's style of football. It seems to really suit you. Would you agree that maybe this new passing style of football that the Town are playing is suiting your game personally?
Yeah, definitely. And I knew that from sitting in the stands and even going to the training sessions with the lads. I knew by watching it, it actually excited me, this new style of football that he's brought to the club. And I did think, this will suit me. And it was hard, it was a tough game to come on down in Cove because the pitch is small, the surface isn't the best. We were 1-0 down when I came on, and they scored quite quickly after that, so it was hard to make an impact and to see how it worked. But I think it really, in the Sligo game and even on Saturday there, you could see that, and I felt myself that style of play worked for me, and I kind of knew that by watching from the stands previously that it would. I think it's exciting for the fans as well, just to something different, to see something different than the way it's a style of play that I've never played before since coming to the club. So I think it's great for everyone, really.
So we've spoken about the big win over Athlone, Davy. Obviously, just moving to the cup, because that's where the real focus is now ahead of the weekend. Fantastic result against Sligo Rovers. You've got Bangor Celtic this weekend. Do you know a lot about the opposition?
A small bit about them. I would have played against them now in my time at Wicklow Rovers and Arto Town in the Leinster Senior League, but that's 5 or 6 years ago now. I do know the pitch that we're playing on. I know it's a very, very big pitch, very wide, very long pitch, so which I think should probably suit us, but it's going to be a tricky tie. It's not going to be easy by any means at all, and we know that as a squad collectively. We've been talking about that all week. We trained well last night, we're training again tonight, and we're going to be well prepared for it. And yeah, we know it's going to be a tricky tie, and we need to be up for it, and we're looking forward to it, because that Sligo game was the team effort. Every one of the lads were absolutely excellent that night, and we want to push on now and get a good cup run, and that not just to be the end of it, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, you're obviously a player that's been at the club since 2013, so you've seen some great times at the club, let it be falling just short in the playoffs, but the atmosphere that generated around the town in 2013, obviously winning the league in 2014 and then top six finish in 2015. But did you feel in that Sligo game that buzz was back around the club after what's been a dark couple of years?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. It's probably one of the biggest crowds now that I've seen there, and one of the best atmospheres certainly this season, maybe last season as well. I know it's been a tough kind of year or two for the fans because it's been disappointing. You know, getting relegated last year was tough, and this year we went in as favourites alongside Waterford, and unfortunately, you know, the results and the performances didn't live up to that, all that hype. So it's been disappointing. So I think it's very important. It was a massive win, and I think it was great to have, you know, Section O there and the stand. You could see there was a lot of people in the stand as well, and it did help us on, you know, because we were 2-1 down the 82nd minute or that, and it really spurred us on, especially in extra time. I think just the atmosphere and the fans around the place, and it definitely felt like there was a bit of a buzz back around, which I personally hadn't felt in a long time. So it's great, and look, long may it continue.
You're back on the scoring charts now after the weekend, Davey, and believe it or not, you're only 22 goals away from 100 for the club. Do you see maybe that as a goal for next season?
Possibly, yeah. I didn't know now it was that many, now, to be honest. But yeah, look, you're always, as a striker, you always want to score as many goals as you can, and geez, if I can get anywhere near that, it'd be brilliant. You know, I never would have thought I'd be anywhere near that when I first signed for the club 5 years ago, so yeah, why not have it as a target there?
Yeah, it's been certainly an incredible couple of years for yourself, Davey. You must be delighted with the decision that you made all them years ago to join the town, and I suppose you've got that name as a fan's favourite as well, so it must be great for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the fans have been great to me ever since I came in. They've had nothing but kind of, you know, praise and adulation for me, so I knew that when I signed. It didn't take long to know that I was going to enjoy the place, and it was a tough decision. I remember back 5 years ago, because I was playing for the Irish amateur squad, and you know, you're travelling away to, we were in Porto and the Europeans and that, and really looked after you very well, and it was great. But, and it was a tough decision, because I knew if I played even 1 minute of League of Ireland that I wouldn't be able to qualify for that ever again. So I made that decision, and look, I haven't looked back since, and it's been very enjoyable a few years so far, and you know, it's a very stable club, the facilities are brilliant, and everything about it is great, so I'm still enjoying it.
Well, with any luck, Davey, there might be some European trips in the near future for Lambert Town. Finally, Davey, going to get a prediction for yourself for the big fight at the weekend, McGregor versus Mayweather. Give us a shout.
That's a tough one to call, and I'm going to say Mayweather.
Oh, controversial.
A few of the lads won't be happy with that.
Davey, a pleasure as always. Thanks very much for joining us, and best of luck in the Cup on Friday.
Thanks very much for having me. Cheers.
Cheers, Davey.
Again.
Well, Kieran, you seem to get all the best interviews.
Oh, what can I say, John? It's just an amazing show to come on, so hopefully many more to come.
Yeah, well, hasn't he done fantastic again this season? And, you know, we hope he keeps scoring.
Yeah, the word legend is thrown around a lot in football, but this man, an absolute legend for the football club. I thought when Dave Mooney left, we'd never see a goal scorer like that again, but yeah. David Sutton's just taken it to a whole new level. I know a lot of his goals have come in the first season, but to score, I think it was 28 goals in his first season in 2013, and then 23 in 2014 when they won the league. And then to even score 7 in the Premier Division when we weren't doing, you know, we got relegated out of the Premier Division. Shows the quality of the player, and he'll definitely fit into this new system underneath him.
And he's a lovely fella as well. He's always got time for his fans, you know.
Especially the kids, which is brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
But we're going to come back to the First Division a little later on, John. We'll move on to the Premier Division now, and there was a surprising defeat for Cork City on Friday night. They fell to Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, Cork looked a bit out of sorts, didn't they? A very, very unexpected result.
A very unexpected goal as well. A complete miss hit of a cross, really, from Reece McCabe.
Yeah, we can't really claim that was a shot, can he?
The former Rangers man got a lot of stick in the cup game against Longford the week before, but yes, he was delighted to get on the score sheet here. For me, it was a very poor game of football, though, I have to say, and It was a sign of Cork how much they're missing Shawnee Maguire.
Yeah, they're not the same without him. That was the first thing I thought of when I saw that match, that they just don't look the same without him, you know, the shape and everything, and they miss his, not just his presence on the ground, but his aerial threat as well. You know,
you might have seen the goal he set up for Preston there. I think it was Preston's most recent game where he won a header at the back post and knocked it down. that's exactly something like we've seen, and the likes of Shepherd and Dooley were capitalising on that this season. But Campion has been used at times this season as a target man, but he doesn't seem to be having the impact at all. They've rotated a lot. John Coffey's rotated a lot. He's brought in Jimmy Keohan to play up front. He's tried Sadler up front. Sadler scored a couple of penalties, but overall he hasn't set the world alight. So it's a big challenge for Cork City to replace Sean Maguire, but as we've said many times on the show, that's going to come in the off season. It was never going to come during the summer window.
Yeah, Cork probably they could have had a point there. You know, they did hit the post. Cal Shepherd came close as well, but I think earlier in the season that would have been a match that Cork would have run away with.
Big win for Sligo though in their attempts to avoid the drop.
Absolutely massive win, and I'm sure in their wildest dreams they weren't expecting to get anything out of that match. You know, maybe scrape a point. So
3 points clear of the relegation zone now, John. Their local rivals Galway 3 behind, but with the game in hand. So
yeah,
they're still in the mire down there.
Yeah, well, exactly. I'd always prefer the points on the board rather than the game in hand, and it's eased the pressure a little bit, but. You know, it's still very close down there, and they're certainly not safe yet.
Yeah, and just another twist on that battle between Galway and Sligo for the relegation. Sligo obviously have a week off this week, whereas Galway have a cup game. So do you think that could play an impact, perhaps?
Possible. They could have a bit of a rest. But then again, you know, if Galway have a good win, then it's all about maintaining form, isn't it? So could
but, moving on to the other end of the table, Cork City will follow up on their Monday night game. They had the flip result. They had a 1-0 win over Finn Harps away from home. What did you make of the game, John?
Well, I thought Cork were well on top. They were pretty dominant in that one. You know, I thought Gallagher, the Harps goal, he had a storm. He made a number of good saves. You know, and
that's where this was the major talking point from the game, John. It revolved around Kieran Gallagher. The goal, should it have been disallowed, or was the referee right to allow it?
I don't think he had it under control, to be honest, Kieran. I think if you're a goalkeeper, you'd feel a bit annoyed about it. Mm-hmm. But I think in reality,
then on the flip side, if you were a striker and that was disallowed, you'd be absolutely furious.
Yeah, exactly. No, I thought it should have been allowed.
Yeah, when I seen it initially, my reaction was the same as yours. I didn't think he had the ball under control. A lot of people seem to misconfuse the rule. They think if the keeper has his hands on the ball, that you know he can't be touched. But the actual ruling is he has to have control of the ball. And I didn't feel he had that. But looking back at it today, the Cork City player clearly kicks through the hands of the goalkeeper to get to the ball.
Mm.
So it's the same as, you know, if I was tackling a defender and I kick through his legs, it's a foul. So he's made contact with the goalkeeper and then the ball. So for me, it should have been disallowed, but very, very difficult for the referee to see that one.
And you can see the arguments both ways. It's very tough to make a decision at that. And, you know, was it a big club decision? Probably, you know, that happens. But you know, it was a good win, and it got their title ambitions back on track.
Yeah, five points from the title now, John. They have obviously after the cup weekend, they have Shamrock Rovers. They have a game that will have to be rearranged against Dundalk due to the League Cup final, and then I think it's Limerick they have. So when do you expect Cork to wrap this up?
I think it'll be sooner rather than later. I think it'll be over the next couple of matches. I can't really see. I can see Cork finishing off. But do you know one thing? We were talking about Sean Maguire and the fact that they're not the same team without him. I have a bit of a problem with the Irish national squad, because he's been picked now for the Irish national team.
Well, the provisional squad.
Provisional squad. After 10 minutes of competitive football for Preston. Now, tell me how that works, because what incentive does that give a League of Ireland player to stay in our league?
Let me explain how it works, John. It's a little thing called the magic plane. So basically, you book your ticket for this magic plane, you sit down like any other plane, you put your seatbelt on, they explain the safety process, then you land, you get off the plane, and without touching the football, you're a magical better player. So you should try it sometime. You might get a trial at Yeovil Town, perhaps.
I think my playing days are long gone, Kieran.
But moving on, John. Limerick with a massive, massive 1-0 win over Bohemians. Are Limerick out of the relegation scrap now?
No, I don't think they are. I mean, they desperately needed that. I tell you, if they hadn't won that one, they'd be in serious bother, because they were on absolute free fall, as we talked about last week.
Surprising result, John. Bohs have been in great form recently. Obviously had that big Dublin Derby win not so long ago. Limerick, you called them Free Fall FC here on the last show. But Tosi was dropped for their cup game. He came back and he looked a much fresher and a much more powerful player, and he got the winner from the penalty spot after been tore down to the ground. So
of course, Danny, absolute massive win for Limerick, and the thing they'll be equally as pleased with is keeping a clean sheet.
Yeah, it's something they've not done. We haven't prepared our stats for that one. We should have checked it out. I wouldn't say they've done it too often this season.
No.
On that game, Akinade was taken down. Well, taken down for me, it wasn't a penalty. Don't know your views on that one. Georgie Poynton, who scored a couple of penalties this season, he missed this one. It was actually saved by Brendan Clark, who got the Man of the Match award. Some big missed chances for Bowes, particularly in the second half there, and a brilliant late tackle from Barry Carter, who's a highly rated young player down in Limerick at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought, like you, the penalty was a bit dubious, to be honest. And I probably thought that justice was done when Clark saved it. But, Limerick had chance. You know, they could have won that early on. Ogbeni missed that one-on-one against Supple. Yeah,
when he was take the ball very wide. It's actually a trait I've noticed in his game. He does seem to take the ball very, very wide before he shoots. So maybe something he just needs to work on.
Is the pace, but not necessarily the best to control.
Something we see with a lot of young, pacey players.
Yeah.
Just on Bohemians, they're now 8 points clear of the relegation zone. You reckon Limerick are still in trouble, 6 clear. What about Bulls?
Well, they're still, I don't think 6 points is enough to say them safe, is it? Is it really? I mean, they've gone up and down this season. At one stage, they were well down there, and then they got nice and clear. But you'd worry about them being dragged in. But have the likes of the other teams got enough to catch them up? It's relying a lot to catch Bowes up. So I think they'll probably be okay.
Yep, so moving on then, John, it was a bitterly disappointing defeat for Galway United. They took the lead against Shamrock Rovers to a Ronan Murray penalty. More decisions controversial in this game. Webster seemed to slap the ball away, GAA style, for that penalty. Didn't receive a red card. Shane Keegan's post-match interview was the angriest I've seen from any manager in a long time. Gary Shaw with 2 goals seems to have the knack of scoring against Galway United, no matter if it's Shamrock Rovers or Longford Town he's played for.
Mm-hmm.
Their third away win in the row. So break that down for us, John.
Well, Kieran, I'll go back to the handball first. It was inexplicable. What was he thinking?
Mm.
I mean, he quite clearly diverts the ball with his hands. Now, how that's not a red card, I don't know.
Yeah. Anthony Butterman, the referee, a name infamous with the league at this stage. It's hard to believe he's still getting big games like this. If he opens up his rule book, he'll see deliberate handball is a red card. So I really don't know where he's got the yellow card decision from.
It's not just that; it's in the penalty area. You know, there's a striker coming in on the end of it. It's just inexplicable handball, inexplicable decision, and whoa, that was some rant, wasn't it, from Keegan?
Yeah, when you look at the league table, you can see exactly why.
Yeah.
Had they picked up 2 points there, they'd be out of the relegation zone, and they would be, their goal difference is only -7, which is quite positive compared to the likes of Finn Harps on -22, Drogheda United -34, even Sligo Rovers are -14, so that's a big plus for Galway, but it won't matter if they don't have enough points. This decision could be what sends Galway down.
Well, if it does, it's shocking, because, I mean, that match, Galway were on top, and they could have won that if it had been a red card as well. Rovers have been down to 10, it'd have been a very different second half. So you can see why Keegan was so cross after the match. I can't believe he'd probably get fined for that, but you just wonder. It's very unfair that they, you know, we talked about, you talked about Buttimer there, but decisions like that, and in the English league, the referee would be demoted straight away. You know, he wouldn't be reffing another match at that level. So it's quite clearly a bad mistake. And if any justice is done, then he won't be reffing at that level again this season.
Oh, don't worry, he will be.
Yeah.
just one thing I want to go slightly off topic, perhaps, but I taught Soccer Republic this week. There was a fantastic debate after that highlights package from Galway and Rovers between Johnny McDonald and Fabio O'Brien. Just on chat, it's a debate we actually had last week, but we'll just go a little bit deeper into it now. Shamrock Rovers, where they are as a club, are they doing enough senior-wise? Obviously, they're doing great work academy-wise and youth level and all of that. But as a senior team, the money that's been invested there, are they delivering the goods?
Right, well, I fancied them at the beginning of the season with the signings they've made. And for them to be, 29? The guts of 30 points behind Cork.
Yeah, they're further behind this season than they were in the last two seasons. So are they falling away from Dundalk and Cork? That's the big question.
They are, but I'm surprised when you looked at the quality in the team. They should be up there. I thought they might have a chance at the title this season, and they've very much underperformed. I mean, they've lost 11 times this season from 26
times,
from 26 games. That's, you know, that's barely better than a 50% record. It's you know, they're still on Derry's coattails for a European place. Of course, that could drop down to four.
Yeah, but when you take into the fact into consideration the situation of Bray, if Bray hadn't had all this going on, they probably would have picked up a lot more wins. They would have picked up a lot more wins. So I think Shamrock Rovers would be a position lower, down in fifth. So the league table is quite kind to Rovers. For me, they are not delivering the goods.
No.
I know you said you fancied them for the title. I never fancied them for the title because Fabio O'Brien made a great point on the show that this is a new team, whereas Cork and Dundalk have had a core spine to their team for the last couple of years, whereas this is a newly built Shamrock Rovers team. But just for me, players like Ronan Finn, been around the league a long time, he's come in, he hasn't done it. He had a couple of good games in Europe, but that's no good when you're trying to qualify again next year. You need performances week in, week out in the league.
Yeah.
Ryan Connolly, a player we know so much about, he was fantastic for Longford Town, he was amazing for Galway United the last couple of years. He hasn't delivered the goods. So there's a lot of big names that have come in there and they're just not earning their buck.
Are you putting the blame firmly at Stephen Bradley's door for not motivating these players or getting the best out of them?
Well, at the end of the day, it's the players that go onto the pitch. They have to perform. I thought the signings he made in Finn, in Connolly, were good signings. Some players have picked up their game under Bradley. Gary Shaw is on, I'd point to immediately. Yep. His performances have picked up dramatically. But barring that, I'm surprised Bradley's still in a job, to be honest with you. I think what we're seeing here now is Shamrock Rovers are going with a whole new emphasis. They are looking at the club as a whole. They're looking at the youth structure, the new academy out there. So I think Fabio was right in what he said on the show that he'd probably get 2 or 3 years in the job. But when you consider it out in recent years, you know, the likes of Stephen Kenny didn't get long in the job. The likes of Trevor Crowley didn't get long in the job. So Stephen Bradley can count himself lucky for me.
Absolutely. Well, they're obviously going to stick with him till the end of the season. And but I think if Rovers finish outside the European places, then
disaster.
But they could make a change. Yeah.
We should point out though that they could possibly win 2 cups yet.
Well, they could. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll just have to keep an eye on it and see how it goes before the end of the season.
Right, cracking along nicely. Bray Wanderers 2, Drogheda United 1.
Yeah. So Bray haven't been in the best of form recently with all the off pitch issues, but. You know, that was probably the best game they could have hoped for, was a home match against Drogheda to turn things around.
Yeah, but Drogheda, for me, were extremely unlucky in this game. We've seen them hit the woodwork on a number of occasions. They were caught out badly for Bray's first goal, a header from Hugh Douglas.
Yep.
Aaron Green with a fantastic free kick. McCabe hit the crossbar for Drogheda. But Sean Russell hit the post with a free kick for Drogheda, so he that did. Just shows it's going in at one end, it's not going in at the other. Just luck not falling the way, and that's something we see when teams are in the predicament that they are.
Yeah, Drogheda should have gone in the lead actually. Mulhall missed a good chance.
Another good display from Mulhall.
Yeah, he did play well. Yeah, and standouts for me, McCabe on for Bray always impresses. He's got a lot of goals.
Green was excellent again.
Green was very good as well. Yeah. So you just wonder if those two are going to be there at the end of the season. I don't think they'll be staying there unless.
But just on Drogheda, I think it's the likes players like Mulhall that they need to keep around for next season. Maybe Sean Russell, he's shown a bit since he's gone down there as well.
Yeah,
they have a good young goalkeeper, Stephen McGuinness. So they need to build around these good young players, good professionals, players that aren't going to lose their cool after a bad set of results. It's going to be a very competitive first division next season, so they're going to need some strong players mentally wise, good footballers as well. So
I'll tell you now, Mulhall won't be there next season.
He's
too good for that first division. He's a good player. He's the standout player at the moment for me.
Will Pete Matton be there next season?
No.
Very harsh, but we'll move along. It's a 4-0 win for St Pat's against Finn Harps, walk in the park.
Yep. Dominant, wasn't it? Yeah, absolutely dominant win.
2 goals from Curtis Byrne, 2 goals from Conan Byrne. So it was the Byrne show at Richmond Park.
Yeah. When are they going to get rid of that bell, Kieran?
Oh, I love the bell.
Oh, Kieran. No. But yeah, signs that likes of Curtis Byrne's back on fire and playing really well.
Yeah, for me, those two players, Conan Byrne and Curtis Byrne, even when Pats were down in big trouble this season, they were two players really stepping their game up all year.
You knew they had the quality still to do that. Yeah. So, and like I say, with the signings he's made, and they just look a completely different team to when I said a number of months ago that they were in real bother. But they've completely turned it around, and it all bodes well for next season for Pats.
Yeah, so I think Pats are maybe looking up more at Bohemians than they are looking down at Finn Harps. So
I can't see them going down now. Can you, Kieran?
No, they're on a good run of form. They have the cup this weekend, so they can build more momentum. You wouldn't rule Pats out maybe going on and winning the cup.
Well, no, exactly, with the form they're in, and it's just like a tale of two teams, isn't it? The way they're playing now compared with earlier in the season.
Yeah, but we'll speak about the cup games a little later on. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to our final Premier Division result. It was a 4-0 win for Dundalk away to Derry City, a repeat scoreline of the first round cup game, which was held at Oriel Park. Robbie Benson, McMillan, another goal for Benson, and Mountney with the goals on the night.
Yeah, and Derry showing the same type of defensive frailty that they showed in Europe this season. You know, when an absolute howler that gave McMillan the goal. So you'd be worried. Would you be worried about the standard of the league in total with Derry being up third? But they just seem prone to some absolute wobbles.
Well, I've been saying this for a while, John. Yeah. Anyone that follows any of my views on the league will know that I feel the League of Ireland has declined. It hasn't improved. I think Dundalk have glazed over the cracks a huge amount in recent years.
Yeah.
One thing, I think we're seeing more young players come through, which is great. Obviously, that's probably down to clubs not having the money to bring in big players from abroad. Cork City, obviously, this season, but for me, without Sean Maguire, they're not half the team that they were. I do like the brand of football Derry play, and I think Kenny Shields is a very good manager. But for me, this result and the result last week against Dundalk, it shows how far away they are from those top two.
There is
and that
a
seems
big
to
gap.
Be the case with a lot of teams in the league. So you can look at it, you have your top two, Cork and Dundalk. Mm-hmm. Then you have Derry and Shamrock Rovers. You had Bray up until they fell away. And then after that, it's a relegation battle.
Absolutely.
So it's great to watch, but standard-wise, it's probably not the best sign for the league.
Dundalk seems to be getting stronger and stronger, though.
Yeah, and that's why we are going to bring our next guest on now. It's Kieran Callan from Dundalk FM. So I'm joined on this week's show by Dundalk FM and Dundalk's SSE, our Twisted League reporter. It's Kieran Callan. Kieran, very welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much for having me, and congratulations on everything so far. It's been a brilliant podcast so far, and it's been great for League of Ireland fans.
Cheers, Kieran. So it's been a great time in the last few weeks for Dundalk, a real upturn in form. Back-to-back 4-0 wins over Derry City at the weekend. What do you put the upturn in form down to?
Well, if I'm going to be quite honest with you, like realistically, you can go back really as far as May. I mean, the statistics speak for themselves. We scored 15 goals without reply, 15 goals in our wins. We lost to Shamrock Rovers on the 5th of May. But after that, we went on a winning streak right up until the 2nd of June, where Mr. Maguire kind of put the halt on us and we lost 3-0. But even after that, before we went into the game against Rosenborg, once again, we scored 15 goals without reply. So I think, realistically, the mid-season break came at the best possible time for Dundalk, not only for their European preparations, but for their league preparations as well. They came back with a new impetus, and they came back with a new drive. And they kind of, I think the system that Stephen Kenny has been trying to instill, particularly on the new players, really was honed in during that mid-season break. And I think it's worked dividends both in the league and, you know, in other competitions. So I think realistically, we're now seeing the start of what Stephen Kenny would have hoped at the beginning of the season, you know, hitting the ground running. But it didn't work out that way for the first 2 months. It was a very stop start to their season. But I think realistically, through the course of June and through the course of July, you know, if you take the European games out of the context, you know, Dundalk have been absolutely flying. And I just saw a statistic there, a league table. You know, Dundalk, if the league was to start in June, we'd be top of the table. You know, like there's been, you know, it's been a very, very good period. And what has been very appealing for Dundalk fans is that these aren't the scrappy 1-0 wins or anything like that. There have been a lot of free-flowing games and plenty of goal scoring. And when you talk about the 2-4-0 wins over Derry City, like the one thing that kind of surprised me about it was way back in March when we went up to McGinn Park, when we lost 3-1, it was on Monday night, it was an absolutely freezing night in McGinn Park. It was the first time that I actually saw a team that played the exact same type of tempo and performance that you would expect from a Dundalk FC team in Derry City. And they were the first team that I actually sat back and said, you know what, this team is going to cause an awful lot of trouble around the league this year. They're absolutely fantastic. Now, unfortunately, things didn't go the way for Derry City with the loss of Ryan McBride, and that was a very, very unfortunate thing to happen. But Derry City liked to play the exact same way, and because of that, Dundalk were given the space and the opportunity to open up, because it was two very open games in the cup match and in the league game. But Dundalk quite simply took their chances and exploited the gaps, so to speak. And I think that's what Dundalk have been doing. They've been seeing the opportunities and they've been taking them.
Myself and John were just having a quick debate there, actually. on the standard of the league as a whole. And you talk about Derry City playing the same brand of football as Dundalk.
Yeah.
And what we've just said previously before you've come on air here is that we feel there's several different tiers in the league at the moment. Obviously, you have your top two. You have Cork City and Dundalk. Then it's probably Derry, Shamrock Rovers, and it was Bray to a certain extent until events there. And then after that, it's really a relegation cut-off. It's a battle then. So do you feel that Derry City, after these 2-0 defeats, do you feel they're just a step away from Cork and Dundalk?
Well, I think the manager, Kenny Shields, even alluded to that. I think he thought the gap was closer than he thought going into the Cup game. He felt that going into that Cup game in Oriel Park, he felt that they were, you know, a step closer to the Dundalks and the Corks of this world. And I think he's been given kind of a bit of a cold light of day kind of perspective on it with the 4-0 win that Dundalk inflicted on them. But I think in relation, like, I think Kenny Shields deserves an awful lot of credit for keeping the show on the road, realistically, after what's happened to Derry City this year. But when you look at the brand and the style of, and the players that he has, you know, Aaron McInniff and Ronan Curtis and Barry McNamee, they're all players who like to play the ball on the ground, and they're players who like to play a free-flowing kind of pressing style of game. So I think if Kenny Shields, a bit like Dundalk and a bit like Cork in a lot of respects, if clubs from England or elsewhere don't come in and cherry pick his best players, if he's able to utilise that squad, he's able to keep it and build on it for next year, then realistically that gap could come a lot closer. Now, when you're talking about, you know, the other team, Shamrock Rovers, I think Shamrock Rovers is a long-term project, and they're investing an awful lot in the Shamrock Rovers project, so to speak. And Stephen Bradley, to an extent, is trying to build a squad from the up. I think what Shamrock Rovers traditionally had was a very strong team built on experienced players. He's trying to put a bit of youth impetus into him. When you have players such as Gary Shaw and Trevor Murray, and you know, Graham Burke, those type of players, they're very young but they're very raw talented. So you might see in maybe 2 to 3 years' time, when those players get league and European experience, where they're expected to step up to even a higher grade and they're expected to bring that back into the league, then you're going to see a very different Shamrock Rovers from the one that we see now.
Going back to Dundalk, I've seen a bit of an upturn in form from Duffy. Do you think that's come at the same time as Dundalk's upturn in form?
Very much so. I think Michael Duffy, it took a while for him to kind of get used to the system that Stephen Kenny employs at Dundalk. It has taken players, like, I mean, I know we talk about Daryl Horgan and how great he was. Daryl Horgan had a very, you know, how would you say, indifferent start to his career at Dundalk. And I think Michael Duffy pretty much had the same. But there was the transition where he moved from the right to the left, and then he was able to cut inside and work through the middle. And also his link up with Patrick McElhenney. And I firmly believe this, the reason why, you know, Dundalk had such a big dip was also the loss of Robbie Benson. During his true injury, Robbie Benson really made that midfield a lot of time, made that midfield tick this year. And Michael Duffy and Patrick McElhenney were expected to play a different style of kind of football because Robbie Benson was injured. They're kind of compensating for the injury to Benson. So now that Benson's come back in, you know, you've got the final piece of the puzzle. And Michael Duffy has been given that kind of free role to roam on that right-hand side. And also with the return of John Mountney on the right-hand side has afforded Stephen to move him to the left, which I think has been much better. And Michael Duffy is an exceptional talent. I think he's a very, very, like, he's got a bursting pace. And, you know, realistically, when you look at it, he's keeping Dylan Connolly out of the side. Now, whatever about Dylan Connolly being a mid-season signing, he's the kind of player that you'd want to kind of throw into the side. But he's keeping him out at the moment. And that sends kind of a big message out to a lot of players and to the league that, you know, not only Michael Duffy isn't just your flash in the pan player, he's definitely somebody who's going to grow and develop into a great, great player in future. But also what I've noticed is that his vision for that kind of final pass, where he's not taking on himself, that he's kind of looking for another player to score. And a classic example of that is that the kind of the cross that he put in for Dave McMillan for the opening goal against Rosenberg, he could have, you know, the Michael Duffy of March and April
would have tried to have taken that on himself, where he instead he saw the vision that David was about to make that darting run. He made the cross and he put it in for the opening goal. And there's the kind of the difference that you see when he starts to learn and develop under the Stephen Kenny system.
So I suppose it all comes down to, at the moment, Dundalk will be looking good for next year. But it's can they keep hold of the superstars, the McLeanys and the Duffys? Or, you know, are we going to see a situation where they're cherry-picked again by English, Scottish clubs and the revolving door goes again and we're back to square one?
That's the big problem with the League of Ireland at the moment, is that clubs, and I can completely understand this, and I would hate for, you know, us to go back to the boom and bust culture that we've seen with football clubs up and down the country. I think we've lost too many over the years. You can't afford to tie these guys down on 2 to 3 year contracts. You just can't do it. It's not feasible. Even with, you know, the supposed millions that Dundalk have, you know, it's a long, long period of season between November and realistically March. You know, it's a huge off season. And to be expected when you have no kind of bi-weekly income, you can't afford to keep these players on. So, unfortunately, it's the case that the likes of Michael Duffy could necessarily, because he's had such a good year, he could be picked up. Patrick McElhenney could easily have his own goal of the season reel at this stage, the way that he's been playing. There's a lot of talk about, you know, clubs coming in. There's been interest from Wigan Athletic. I know that Melbourne City have also muted to have put in a kind of an expression of interest. But another player that now, it seems, is also kind of in the line that he could be moving out is Nicholas Vallament. Nicholas Vallament signed for us from Derry City at the beginning of the year. He came in, he played right across the back four, but when he slotted into that second, you know, that second centre defensive partnership with Brian Gartland, particularly in the European games, he absolutely was fantastic and has been ever since. He's, you know, we talk about who was going to replace Andy Boyle. Well, Nicholas Vallament is the closest thing we could get to it. You know, we have centre backs such as, I know Paddy Bart's gone on loan to Waterford, we have Sean Hall, we've Brian Gartland, and now we've Nicholas Vallament. Nicholas Vallament is the closest thing we've found to replacing Andy Boyle. And I always said that it was going to be more difficult to replace Andy Boyle than it was Dan Horgan, because Andy Boyle was a ball playing defender, very comfortable, and was a leader from the back. Nicholas Vallament is a player who I would be also very, very fearful, because Stephen Kenny is the type of manager that likes to build and play from the back. So if he has to reshuffle his back four again, you are back to square one.
Kieran, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to answer these last two questions because we've gone way over time. Thanks for giving us so much of your time. A brilliant interview.
No problem.
My last two questions. Was the most important thing for Dundalk FC to tie Stephen Kenny down to that two-year contract? And obviously you have a big game in the cup on Saturday against Crumlin. How do you see that going? 30 seconds.
30 seconds to answer the Stephen Kenny question. Absolutely, 110% yes, because it calmed everything down. You know, there's now stability within the club until 2020. It was a fantastic coup by the club. Well done to the owners, Paul Brown and Andy Connolly and everyone involved. And the Crumlin game, to look at it, we bet them 5-0 last year with the second string side. However, this year, Stephen Kenny will be looking at the cup as a means of bringing success and glory to Dundalk, because the league title really, realistically, is going Lee's side. It breaks my heart to say it, but it is going there. And I predict that he's going to put in a much stronger side and set out a stall and a message to the rest of the clubs in the cup.
Well, watch out, Crumlin. So, Kieran, thank you very much for joining us. Keep up the good work with Dundalk FM and the SSE Airtricity League website, excuse me. And we'll speak to you again soon.
No problem. Thanks, Kieran. A pleasure as always.
Cheers. So moving on to the First Division, John, you have the results there for us.
I do, and we'll start at the top of the table with a 1-0 win for Waterford over one of the third place UCD.
Yeah, much like the Premier Division, I suppose you could say that UCD, they've had an excellent season, but they're just that one step behind Waterford. There was a 1-0 win also for Cove away to Shelburne, which was a great result, because they've been inconsistent in the last few weeks. Yeah. Shells have showed an upturn in form, so a great win for Cove there.
They have to be pleased with that. So it sort of keeps a little bit of pressure on Waterford.
Yeah, I think it's going to be wrapped up fairly soon, just like the Premier Division, John,
yeah,
unfortunately.
That's true. At the bottom, Wexford with a 2-0 win over Cabo.
Yeah, I suppose you put that down as the surprise result in the first division this week, John.
Yeah.
As I said, Cove winning 1-0 in Talca was a great result for them, but you wouldn't call it a surprise considering the league table. Wexford went out humiliating. I got a bit of a slate for calling it a humiliating defeat to Crumlin, considering Crumlin are one of the top junior sides in the country. They're obviously top of the Leinster Senior League at the moment. And I fancied them to put up a good fight against Dundalk, as positive as Mr. Callum was there.
Yeah, I think if we'd had a few more minutes, we'd have pointed to their recent form in the league. You know, they've won both their opening fixtures, Crumlin. But you know, we'll go back to this match. Mm. And for me, that was a big surprise because I'd really talked up Cabo the previous week. You know, the players that they'd signed, and I expected them to be a force next season. Then they go and lose 2-0 at Wexford.
Yeah, they could have put some pressure on the top three. Obviously, it has no real meaning because there's no playoffs this year. But for Cabinteely, this no matter where they finish now, it's going to be their highest league finish since they joined the league. But a top three one would really just show that they mean business for next year. But as we've said so many times, it's going to come down to keeping their top names, Marty Waters, and with McCaffrey joining there. He'll obviously be there next year because he hasn't really played a lot since he's come in. Oh. But he's a great player, so there'll always be clubs looking at players like that. And there's a couple of other real talented players in that Cabinteely team, particularly across their back four.
Yeah.
So they need to keep the spine of that team together, push on again for next year with a couple of big signings. But this was a disappointing result for them.
And we talked earlier about Longford's magnificent seven against Athlone. So.
Yeah, it helped move Wexford off the bottom as well, just to link it back to our last result. But we've spoken about the 7-1 win. There's not really much more to say on that.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about the statement with John Delaney that came out today. But one of the things that I was thinking about there with that 7-1 Athlone, you know, if there was a proper pyramid structure in place, Kieran, in Irish football, like there is... you know, we have the conference and then the leagues and there's a full pyramid structure there.
The Northern Irish League has a structure.
It does indeed, yeah.
How can they have a pyramid structure for such a small pool of teams they have up there? It's a much... They obviously have their financial problems, they have their attendance problems, just like we do here. They have some good facilities, some bad facilities. Standard-wise, it's not as good as the League of Ireland, but they have a proper pyramid system in place.
Yeah.
I still can't understand why there isn't... It's never even been looked at here. And it's the most disappointing thing.
You know, I mean, finance should not be stopping the likes of Crumlin United being promoted into that first division. You know, it shouldn't be something... that finance shouldn't be alone, the reasons for it. And, you know, how much more interesting would it be this if Wexford and Athlone were battling to stay in that division this season?
Yeah, it'd be fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a chance for junior clubs to get promoted. So,
the flip side, I suppose, to that, when you look at the Leinster Senior League, if that was, I suppose, the division below the first division, we'll say, a lot of the teams in that would be Dublin teams. So we could end up with a very crowded first division with Dublin teams. So that's one issue you may have.
I think the whole... that there has to be some kind of regional structure purely because of funding underneath, but there's no reason why, you know, Munster senior outfits and things cannot have playoffs for that promotion position.
Unfortunately, the thing we always hear is that junior clubs simply do not want to join the League of Ireland. The cost is just far too much.
And that comes back down to the funding.
Yeah. So, speaking of funding, we'll move on. We'll talk about John Delaney's interview today. I'm not sure what outlet it actually was with, but I did read it today on my lunch break.
It was on RTE, wasn't it?
Was it RTE?
Yeah, I think.
Got a little look at it on my lunch break, and basically he said attendance is up in the League of Ireland 48-49%. That facilities are improving. There's still work to do, but he said they're improving. I'd like to see what he means by that, because for me they're still light years behind. He mentioned the great work being done at clubs like Shamrock Rovers in terms of their youth structure, which we've already spoken about on the show. But for me, as we've discussed, the league is falling backwards, in my opinion. He referenced Dundalk's great success last year. As I said earlier, for me, that was papering over the cracks for all the problems the league has. He touched on the Bray Wanderers subject, saying that that's now been resolved. That hasn't been resolved. Let's not kid ourselves there.
No.
And he barely touched on the Athlone situation because there is an investigation still ongoing, and as I said earlier, that is a situation that's gone on way too long now. So what did you take from it, John?
Well, it's very difficult. I mean, John Delaney isn't going to come out and say it's completely broken, you know, and everything's going wrong. There are some positives, Kieran. The under 15 structure that's in place for this season,
10-20 years behind, John. That'd be my argument.
Yeah, but look. It's done now. It's in place.
No, it's great. Don't get me wrong. It's fantastic. It's going to be a huge... It's going to bring League of Ireland football on so far, but we're not going to see the fruits of that for 10, maybe 20 years.
No, we aren't. And I think you'll see even down under 13s.
That's going to be a complete mayhem, though, the under 13s league when it gets underway. We've seen the issue already with St. Kevin's Boys, which is another mess the FAI made for themselves.
Yeah, look, there is messes in this league with the Bray situation, the Athlone situation. It's very difficult to see how we can come out and say and give such a positive spin on it when we're still waiting for some of these things to be resolved. Mm. I haven't seen that the Bray's been resolved at all. And, you know, yes, he was saying about Dundalk, but don't forget, we only had a couple of wins at most this season in Europe. You know, for me, it was disappointing. And to be honest, not that unexpected. So I don't really see how there's been this massive step change that Delaney seems to think that there has been.
Yeah, when he talks about facilities and infrastructure, you only have to look at what Dundalk went out and played in over in Norway.
Yeah.
That's something the League of Ireland needs to be aiming for, not building a little stand here or there or train. Obviously, I'm not trying to demean what any of the clubs have done. Some clubs, as we've mentioned again, Shamrock Rovers, even our own Longford Town now with the academy and the second pitch out there now, it's fantastic and it's great. But if John Delaney wants this league to push on to another level, as he said today, Rosenberg is the level we need to be aiming for, and we are light years away from that.
And that's why the problem is with our European coefficient. We're way down compared with Norway, and you know, until we get better facilities, better grounds, which brings more fans in, brings more income, and it's a fully, and there's more funding of the league, then that's not going to change, you know. Dundalk probably didn't have the ability to invest too much of their winnings from that season, and you know, do you want to blast it all on players? Probably not, and that's why...
No, we've seen that before. Don't
well,
we?
Exactly, we're going back to boom bust, and... You know, the situation with the prize money in the league, there's just not enough money coming into it.
110,000. It's not
nothing. No, it's not. It's not at all, Kieran. And, you know, until it's properly funded, then we're going to stand still. I mean, it's too many grounds that are crumbling. And I know Daily Mount's going to be improved and rebuilt. And
Derby City's ground has been rebuilt as well.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a couple of positives. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some very poor grounds in the first division as well. And, you know, and the Premier Division. So there's a lot of work to be done for me, Kieran.
Yeah, certainly, John. So we'll move along and we'll have a quick chat now on the great news for UCD today. So I've actually done UCD a little bit of a disservice here, John. I said at the start of the show they qualified for this UEFA Youth League through the fair play system. That I misunderstood that. That's actually incorrect. They qualified through this because of their under-19 league success last season, but they needed results from other nations to go their way, and they did go their way. So the draw is set to take place on the 29th of August at UEFA headquarters. Last season saw Cork City qualify, where they overcame HJK Helsinki in the first round before a narrow defeat to Roma. And I remember that was actually, I think, an attendance of maybe, I could be wrong in saying it was 3,000, but it was definitely in the thousands anyway. So that shows there is an interest in this country for youth football. Absolutely. And this qualification for UCD should only help push that on.
Yeah, it's fantastic for them. And you talked about Fair Play League. I remember a couple of seasons ago when their senior side got into the Europa League through the Fair Play, and they went on to win a match or two, didn't they? I think Ryan Swan's goal got them through a match or two there. But this is brilliant for the under-19s. And you know, it's a chance for their youngsters to come up against some of the very best.
Yeah, and they've had a good start to the season. In the Southern Division, they currently sit top a couple of points ahead of second place Cove, with just two games left to play. Mm-hmm. So it's shaping up to be a big, big year for the youth players at UCD, and it'll feed into Collie O'Neill's excellent senior side. And again, I think we're going to see a number of young stars coming through that UCD setup in the next few years.
Yeah, well, certainly the whole first team is based on youngsters, and I know they want to make it UCD an entire academy only first team, so which would be fantastic to see such young talent all in one team.
Yeah, we certainly wish UCD luck in the UEFA Youth League, and we'll probably get somebody from UCD on in the coming weeks to give us a little chat about that, because it really is a great achievement. So well done to all involved there. But we're going to round up this week's show, John, with the Cup preview at the weekend. So you want to run us through the fixtures there?
Okay, so looking through them, we've We've 8 fixtures, so we're getting to the stage now where we're getting near to the big round. So we'll kick off in order. So Bluebell against Cabinteely.
Yeah, the interesting one to come out of this. The game is now in Strabo, Cabinteely's home ground. But also Jason Byrne, the Cabinteely striker, he's a coach with Bluebell United, who obviously also now have Keith Fatty on their books. So that's a real humdinger of a tie.
Exactly, and we can't really go too much from form from the Leinster Senior League, as most of these teams have only played one or two matches at absolute most. But you'd think now with the match being you'd think it'd be a Cabinteely win, really, wouldn't you?
Well, if you look at the bookies, they actually have both teams on the same odds. I think they're both 6-5, and we've seen that in the last round where Crumlin were made favourites to beat Wexford. So the bookies don't get these things wrong. So Bluebell are going to put up a fight here. I think the fact that home advantage has been taken away from them, it might just slightly go against them, but don't be surprised if we see this one decided very late on the night. Obviously, same as the first round, there's no replays, so yeah, extra time penalties. I think that one's going to go all the way.
Okay, moving on. You spoke to a very confident Bangor City player, but they've lost the 2 matches in the Leinster Senior League so far, so I'm still thinking that Longford should win that.
Yeah, we'll play that interview with Stephen Connolly for you now. Very confident ahead of this tie, and this is myself speaking with the former Longford goalkeeper earlier on. So I'm joined now by a former Longford Town player who is in fact going to be facing the town this weekend in the Cup. He's the goalkeeper with Bangor Celtic. It's Stephen Congle Conlon. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
So Stephen, people may remember you from your time with Longford Town. I think I'm right in saying you left the club in around 2011, and you've been with Bangor Celtic ever since.
Yeah, we left there in 2011 there in the June. So I'm straight away for Bangor. I've been there since. I've spent a couple of months at Crumlin last year, but kind of went back home to Bangor. I've been there since 2011, so it's been it's a great club. Like, you got kind of the lads behind the scenes, the likes of Charlie, Eddie, Jerry, all the mad boys who are there week in, week out, Hail Rain or Snow, who do everything to kind of promote the club, you know. So it's a great club. Like.
So here's your chance to promote the club, Stephen, because I think it's fair to say a lot of League of Ireland fans, particularly down in the Midlands in Longford, wouldn't know a lot about Bangor Celtic, maybe compared to some of the other clubs, like maybe Crumlin, for example. So if you want to give us a little rundown on the club.
Yeah, look, we're quite a club, we're a small club, but what it is, we've got a lot of people that were there behind us for years, you know, the likes of, as I said, Charlie the Kit Man, literally just kicks you out of the dressing room, goes in, hands up the jerseys, the likes of that. Eddie, Jerry Carney, who've been there for years. It's a small club, very well run club. Some may say in the shadows of Crumlin, I don't believe so. I think this year we will challenge in the league this year. And I think we've got a good chance on Friday night as well, to be honest with you. We're a bit of an unknown quantity regarding a few of the younger lads and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a very, very close knit tight club. We've got a Saturday side and then on the inside who are very, very good as well. A lot of good kids there, and a lot of good players there that might shock a few people on Friday night.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, Stephen. I've been trying to find out as much as I can about Bangor online, and there's not an awful lot to go on. But what I have seen from maybe supporters in and around the Dublin area, they're certainly giving you a chance of if not pushing Longford Town close, knocking them out. So there must be something there that people that can see.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. We're gonna have to play. Kind of everybody's gonna have to be on the game. You know, the sort of way I'm gonna have to if we do play. Obviously, I'm gonna have to have a great game if I do play in order for us to go through. You know, but at the same time, we're quietly confident in our ability as a team, as a squad. We know what we can do. We know what we're capable of. We are quietly confident behind the scenes, and maybe causing an upset. Look, if we can, it'd be great for the club. Again, great for the area as well, being for Longford, you know. But again, Longford will have to have an off day. We'll have to be at the best of our ability. But I do feel that we do have a sneaky chance of maybe causing an upset, which would be great for our club, you know.
Yeah, so you came through round one by beating Everton. 3-2 was the scoreline in that. Must have been a tough encounter for you.
Being honest with you, it was one of the craziest games I've ever played with in ever. It was mad. The first half, I don't think we strung 2 passes together. We were absolutely dreadful. Came in at half-time, had a few words, the gaffer kind of said a few home truths. We came out on second half, we were excellent, absolutely excellent. took us to the 82nd minute or something. This thing had scored a second one, or the score one back, and then scored the two in the last 5 minutes to go through. But I think once we got the goal back and against everything, they kind of sat back and they kind of dead in the field a little bit, and we were always going to go on and win the game. But again, we can't afford to have a slow start on Friday night against Longford, you know, because we will be punished by obviously a League of Ireland side. They're going to take the chances like everything did. In fairness to them, when they got their chances, they only had two chances in the game. We started two of them, you know, so we have to be on about defensively. But again, it was a tough game. But once we got one back, we knew we could sense it that we were going to win. It was just crazy how it happened, you know, sort of way, like 3 goals in the last 8 minutes of the game. It was nuts, like.
I'm not sure if our listeners will be able to hear this, but the rain is absolutely torrential here in Longford at the moment. I'm just wondering, do you feel conditions at the weekend could play a big part in the game? Obviously, you've been a goalkeeper. It's a huge part of your game.
Oh, yeah. It's tough, but it's probably the biggest pitch in the left in the league as well. So it's going to suit both teams. We're going to play football. Longford, obviously, are going to try and play football. And look, it's a great pitch. It's a big pitch. It does hold up a lot. It takes a lot, quite a beat, in the fairness to it. So, conditions maybe, yeah. Look, I've played in every condition now, and I think it depends. It really, really does depend, like, on the goalkeeper yourself. Look, I'm pretty confident I know how good I can be, can potentially be as well. Also, the conditions are going to be down to goalkeeper, whoever plays in golf along for them, myself, or if I do play, they will play a part. But look, you can't be worrying about them, you know what I mean? It depends on the day, and our pitch is good enough for both teams to play football on. It depends on who takes the chances better.
So, Stephen, did you perhaps look at the results from the First Division from behind the sofa the other night? A 7-1 win for Longford Town. It's definitely a big morale booster for the away side ahead of this one.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, look, I've been following the results ever since I left. You know, I would always check the results every single Saturday or Friday night. You know, it was amazing. I wasn't expecting a 7-1 win, to be honest with you. I didn't see that one coming. It's obviously nice for the Longford boys to be able to go to Athlone and give them a bash like that, you know. But I always keep a close eye on that. To be honest with you, it was the boys are probably sick of me on the WhatsApp group saying how much I wanted to get Longford in the club, you know. So we're a little bit kind of taken aback with the 7-1, but we're not going to be worried about that, you know. The sort of way it's on the night, I suppose, and let's hope that Longford underestimate us a little bit and maybe we can cause a shock at him. But yeah, the 7-1's a great result for us.
Yeah, I know from speaking to you in the past, Stephen, that you felt your time at Longford, maybe you didn't show your best abilities at the time, maybe a little bit younger. You've gone away now and you've had a great couple of years with Bangor. Do you feel this is a chance now for you to prove to the Longford fans just what a good goalkeeper you are?
Well, yeah, one of the main reasons, I think, why I wanted to get Longford in the cup, because I feel me personally, I have a point to prove, you know. I don't think it went as well as I thought. I was a young kid at the time in terms of goalkeeping, you know. I was a very, very young kid. Mm. I did show glimpses, looked at the 30 games standing out in my head, you know. The sort of way, it's probably the best game I've ever played in my life. But yeah, look, it's to me personally, it's not about me playing Longford. I think I have a point to prove in general. I really do. I know I do. I didn't go great when I was down there, but at the end of the day, it's about the 11 that's gone on the pitch and our subs that come on to dictate the game. It's nothing about me or anybody else. I need to have a good game, and I'm quietly confident that I can show kind of a few Longford fans who gave me that bit of stick back in the day to be able to say, well, look, this is how good I am now. It's made me a better goalkeeper, and it's certainly made me more mentally stronger anyway, I'll tell you that.
One thing I remember from your spell with Longford, Stephen, you were a bit of a penalty expert. You made a couple of saves, I think, against Athlone, I'm right in saying. This game could go all the way to penalties. Would you be feeling confident if it was to go that far?
Do you know, it's something for some reason, I don't know. I don't study penalties or anything like that. I don't know. It's something I just always had a good knacker. I would be very, very confident coming up against anybody that I'd have a chance to save the penalty. It's something that I'm really, really good at doing. The lads have often said to me in penalty shootouts, just score, can't go and save them. And I always seem to save them. If it comes to it, it comes to it. It'd be no better way personally for me to win a game, you know. The sort of way as a goalkeeper is to kind of make that winning save and the penalty shootout to kind of put us through, considering the team that it's against as well, you know. But yeah, for some reason it's just been a knack of mine. It's just something that I've just been really, really good at over the years, and I've not even kind of I don't go studying. I'm not going to look at any. I haven't really looked at like on YouTube or anything like that for any longer play or anything like that, or you take the penalties, it doesn't really bother me. I just step up and I just do my best and I kick my side and go for it. I don't change my minds. It's just something that I have and something I've been really, really good at over the years. But that one against that Longford stand out actually. Austin Skelly, I think I say that one from.
Yeah, former Longford player actually. So it's crazy how these connections just seem to come up down the years. But I suppose that's League of Ireland football for you. Stephen, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and I'm not going to wish you luck ahead of Friday, but certainly the best going forward with Bangor and wherever the future may take you.
No problem at all. Thanks very much for having me on, okay?
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks very much.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
So, confident Stephen Conlon there, John.
Well, indeed, but like I said beforehand, I still fancy Longford to come on top of that one, Kieran.
I still have nightmares from Cherry Orchard knocking out Longford in 2012, so I'm just hoping it's not going to be the same on Friday night.
Hopefully not. Well, look, we'll stick with the non-league clubs, and this one, potential shock, Drogheda at home to Cove Wanderers.
Yeah, well, we did say the same ahead of... sorry, why am I saying that? Long, they're on the mind this week. But Drogheda's last game against Evergreen, we felt Evergreen had a real chance of turning over Drogheda, but it was a very comfortable win for the Drogs in the end.
Certainly was.
They have home advantage this time around. They were away in the last round. Cove scraped through in the last round. I think this might be just a step too far for them, and I would expect the Drogheda to get through in this
one. Yeah, it was a nice draw for them, really. They've already dispatched one non-league team, as you said, and boy, they need some kind of morale boost. So, yeah, a victory over Cove Wanderers and into the last eight, and maybe just give them a bit of impetus just to try and get a few results in the league. So, yeah, I'm with you that one. I think Drogheda to squeeze that one through. Next one we talked about briefly, Crumlin against Dundalk, and Dundalk very confident about winning that, but Crumlin hit a bit of form at the moment. They've won their opening two Leinster Senior League matches. They're top of the league, and they've won quite convincingly as well, so it won't be a walk in the park for Dundalk.
Yeah, Crumlin, the neighbours of Longford's opposition, Bangor.
Yep.
Crumlin would be seen as the much bigger club. Bangor, obviously we heard in that interview with Stephen, he'd opposed that this season. He feels Bangor can have a good year, but certainly, as you said, the start of the season would suggest otherwise. Crumlin off to a flyer. Don't know a lot about them in terms of the players they have on their books at the moment. I always just look out for the ex-League of Ireland players, of course, and Thomas Hyland is one that was on the bench for the last round. He's a former Longford player who made way at the time of Keith Gillespie coming in, and a lot of Longford fans felt it was a very harsh decision to let Thomas go at the time. He was an excellent holding midfield player, and he can play centre-back as well. He's coming back from injury and may see some minutes here against Dundalk, but certainly not an easy game to come back into if you've been out of action for a while.
No, I just think that one might be a bit closer than people are thinking. So
yeah, I think so, but as we heard from Kieran Callan, Dundalk will be putting all focus on the cup now, so yeah. I think Dundalk maybe 2-3 goal margin, but Crumlin certainly to give it a fight, you know.
Okay, we're going to come on to the last year's winners. Cork City, they've got, well, it's probably as good a draw as they could have hoped for. Crisis Club Athlone at home.
What's bigger than a cricket score?
I'm not so sure, to be honest.
Snooker score, 147.
You're expecting
180.
Well, it's whether Athlone going to have a side.
Yeah, very true.
Look, I think we both agree that's going to be very one-sided. And
Athlone should have the likes of Stephen Walsh, Enda Curran, Ian Fletcher, a lot of other senior players back, but for me, their morale should be absolutely shattered after that 7-1 defeat. You'd hope they'd come out fighting, trying to restore a bit of pride in the jersey, but when the fans don't seem, well, I wouldn't say they don't care, they just have distanced themselves from the club at this stage.
Yep.
And for me, that is a club that is falling apart at the seams. I can't see anything other than an absolutely huge Cork City win here.
Yep, agreed. Moving on, Shells against Shamrock Rovers. Boy, I'm looking forward to that one, because this is a game that could put Stephen Bradley under real pressure.
Oh yeah, if he was to lose this one, he could be in big trouble with the Rovers fans, who you'd imagine are going to turn out in force for this one.
Shells proven a bit inconsistent as well.
Sorry?
Shells are proven a bit inconsistent.
Yeah, they did have an upturn in form recently, but that defeat to Cove at the weekend will have been disappointing. But then again, they could have been taking their focus off this. This is a huge game for Shelburne. They can show that while they've fallen away as a force in Irish football, they're still there, and they do have ambitions of one day returning to the level they were at previously.
Yeah.
As you said, there's going to be huge pressure on Stephen Bradley. I'm sure he's going to try and distance himself from claims like that in the build-up to this game. He'll look at it as business as usual. His team, inconsistent, probably like Shelburne this season, but the likes of Gary Shaw in good form at the moment, so you'd expect Shamrock Rovers to win it, but it's the Cup, anything can happen.
You'd love to see the Shells fans back in the place.
Yeah, you really would. Yeah, you'd love to see a proper Dublin derby atmosphere, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
Okay, moving on. Pats against Galway. Two teams that are enjoying a bit of a resurgence in form recently.
Yeah, but Galway, as we mentioned earlier, they're going to be good at letting that lead slip to Shamrock Rovers, as controversial as some of the decisions may have been. St. Pat's just look to be on a real hot streak at the moment, and I have to go with the home side here.
I agree, Kieran. Final match will be Limerick against Harps. That should be a good one.
Yeah, tasty one there, all right. The league meetings have been quite close this season, but Limerick, big win during the weekend there, so the confidence should be high. Harps, they're in that relegation zone for the first time in a long time, so focus may just slightly turn away from that. Will be interesting to see if Ollie Horgan maybe rests the likes of McCourt. I have to go with the home team.
Agreed, Kieran.
So that has been it. We've gone almost an hour and 15 this week, John.
It's just quality content, Kieran.
Quality content. And as we said earlier, for the first time, you can now get this content on iTunes, on Pocket Cast, on Podcast Republic. So they're both for anyone that's an Android user. And we're also on Audio Boom and still on Mixcloud. So what we want everyone to do this week, it's our first week on iTunes. We want everyone that has an iOS system to go onto iTunes, search for Between the Stripes LOI Podcast and hit the subscribe button. Don't worry, subscribe doesn't mean you get charged. It's totally free. It just means that every week when the show goes up, it'll go automatically onto your phone and download, so you can even listen to it offline, because we do tend to rabble on quite a bit.
I've done it already, Kieran. Hit the subscribe button, dead easy, and the podcast comes straight down to my phone every week.
Yeah, and if you're enjoying the show, what we'd really appreciate if you could, while you're subscribing, give us a review as well. All you have to do is have an iTunes account. You can review. If you feel we deserve 5 stars, give us 5 stars. It'll help us climb up the chart. We're on the charts with quite some big names now, John, so we're in the big leagues.
Yep.
But that's where we're going to leave it this week, folks. Want to thank everyone who's joined us, and give the show a like, a listen and a share, and we will see you next week. Or will we actually? I'm going to Georgia next week, John.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, I wish you all the best for that trip.
Hopefully.
Anything special happening?
Just a little game involving Ireland, the magic play, and hopefully Charlie Maguire will be on. But thanks, folks. We'll see you again whenever the next show is broadcast. Good luck.
Thank you for listening to Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Click the follow button on Mixcloud now and never miss an episode. Want something featured on next week's show or to react to this episode? If so, follow and contact us on Twitter at Between Stripes. Or alternatively, find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, for all the latest news and updates, check out our website, www.betweenthestripesblog.wordpress.com. Thank you for your support.